The Pepsodent Show, presenting A Date with Judy.
Judy.
Hello.
Listen, I called you up to ask you a question, Judy. Do you believe that it's all right for a girl to have a date with two men at the same time?
It sure is. Bring them both right over.
Uh-huh. We've got a date with Judy, chaperoned by Pepsodent. You know, one of the most charming characteristics of Judy is that honest, bewitching smile of hers. When Judy smiles, well, the boys just melt. And say, speaking of bewitching smiles, how's that smile of yours? If it isn't as bright and sparkling as you'd like it to be, then get high-polish Pepsodent tooth powder. For, you see, thanks to its exclusive ingredient, composite metaphosphate, Pepsodent tooth powder has the power to produce a luster on teeth twice as bright as the average of all other leading brands. So if your smile lacks sparkle and brilliance, if its bewitching power isn't all you think it should be, well, just say to the man behind the counter, Pepsodent tooth powder, please. And now smile that big Pepsodent smile. You have a date with Judy. No, that's not a whirlwind headed down Elm Street toward the foster home. It's Judy. And at the moment, she's pretty excited about something.
Mother, where are you?
I'm right here, dear, as usual. I don't travel much.
Mother, we've got to do something about the house. Right away.
About the house? What's wrong with the house?
I mean the furniture and the rugs.
Why? They look all right to me.
Let me see now. We'll move back the furniture, maybe take the sofa down to the basement. And, of course, we'll have to take up all the rugs.
Whatever for?
Well, for dancing, naturally. What did you think?
Oh, I've given up thinking.
About the orchestra. We can be there in the corner by the piano. Now about food. Or do you think it'd be simpler just to call in the caterer?
Oh, much simpler just to call in the caterer.
For what? What would you say to lobster a la Newberg, shrimp aspic, hors d'oeuvres, French pastry, and punch?
Well, I don't know what else is going on here, but I do know this. I'm getting hungry.
And what do you think I ought to wear? If I could only fix my chartreuse evening gown so that it'd stay up strapless and still stay up. Oh, Mother, I'm so bored with straps.
Judy, I hate to barge into your boredom like this, but would you mind telling me what goes on here?
Oh, it's all too simple, Mother.
Not for me, it isn't.
Oh, Mother, it's for the party.
What party?
The surprise party they're giving me tonight.
Who's giving you?
My friends. Everybody. I just found out. I was sitting in the booth at Scully's drugstore having a super duper.
Oh, now we're getting someplace.
Well, you keep interrupting me. I was sitting in the booth and I heard them talking in the next booth.
Heard who talking?
Eleanor and some of the other girls. And I overheard they were giving me this surprise party tonight.
Judy, I'm just a mother and I don't know very much. But if your friends came here tonight and found French pastries and a caterer and an orchestra, wouldn't they suspect that the news about the surprise party had leaked out a little?
Well, you could just say that... Well, you could say that you and Father felt like dancing a little.
And, like eating 50 French pastries?
Oh, Mother, that's ridiculous.
Well, it seems to me if they find you in a strapless evening gown with orchestras and shrimp aspic all over the place, they'd think their surprise party wasn't surprising you very much.
Mother, do you or do you not intend to cooperate? On account there isn't very much time to get everything done.
Well, I'll cooperate to the extent of sandwiches and lemonade.
All right, Mother. If a girl's own mother won't cooperate when a big surprise party is held in her honor, well, I'll just take care of things myself. That's what I'll do.
Well, you don't need to go flying out of the house like that. I guess the surprise is on me.
But, Judy, I don't feel like being dragged all the way downtown.
Oh, I'm not dragging you, Randolph. I'm merely asking you to accompany me, on account of somebody has to accompany me where I'm going.
Where are you going?
To get things for the party. There'll be things to carry and stuff.
That's me, the good old carrier.
First, we have to go get an orchestra.
What do you expect me to do, carry home an orchestra?
We are going to the hotel to inquire if Rudy Henderson is available to play at my party tonight.
Rudy Henderson? He's got one of the biggest name bands in the country. You think he's going to play at your party?
He opens tomorrow at the Bijou Theater, and if he's in town already, he'll probably have no place to play tonight. Should be very glad of an opportunity to play at a party.
Oh, he'll be aching to. I can see him falling on your neck in gratitude. Well, this is going to be very interesting. I wonder how he'll say no. 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 No.
No. You cannot see Mr. Henderson.
But this is very important. Vital.
I'm Mr. Henderson's secretary. You can confide in me. Any number of young girls who wish to see Mr. Henderson do.
This is purely a matter of business. It's about a job for Mr. Henderson.
What's going on out here?
Oh, Mr. Henderson.
Yes?
You are Mr. Henderson. I knew you right away from your pictures.
Yes, well, what can I do for you?
Oh, Mr. Henderson, this is about a job. My friends are giving me a surprise party this evening, and I would like to hire you and your orchestra to play.
A surprise party? On you?
Yes. The name is Judy Foster, 715 Elm Street. Would you have your secretary take that down?
I'd be glad to. However, perhaps it would be wise to discuss price at this time.
Oh, yes, price. Well, what would it be?
Well, my usual price is $7.50 an evening.
$7.50? Gee, that's going to be kind of hard to scrape off. I could manage about $5, though.
Miss Foster, this may be something of a shock. When I said $7.50, I was referring to $750.
Wow! $750, Mr. Henderson?
That's it.
Well, I guess I won't be able to scrape that much up.
Even if you came down to a mere $500, you wouldn't be able to scrape it up.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Henderson. It was nice talking to you. Well, I guess I'll be going. Well, goodbye.
In that telephone booth, Judy, establishing squatters' rights?
I called Harvey Lake and his high school Hot Licks. His orchestra isn't bad. As a matter of fact, it's as good as a big band. Any day of the week.
Except Fridays when it plays for the school dances.
I was able to hire him quite reasonably.
For how much?
For nothing.
Yes, that was pretty reasonable.
He said he'd do it just for refreshments for him and his boys on account he'll have to take substitutes on a kind of some of his good players won't be able to play tonight.
Some of his good players? Well, without them, I can understand. Hey, Judy, where are we going now?
To the caterers. Where do you suppose? There'll be about 50 people, Mr. Newman. Now with lobster a la Newberg, shrimp, aspic, French pastry, and punch, how much would that be, Mr. Newman?
Offhand, about $120.
Oh. Well, how much would it be if you left out the punch?
Maybe $100.
Oh. Well, how much if you left out the shrimp basket?
Oh, say $75.
How much if you left out everything?
How much you really got to spend, Judy?
Well, I thought I could sort of get something for $2.
$2, huh? Well, you've been a good customer of mine for a long time, Judy. There's never been a Saturday you didn't come in for an ice cream cone or a piece of licorice. Now, I'll tell you what. How would you like a nice wedding cake for $2?
A wedding cake?
Well, yesterday I spent the whole day making a beautiful wedding cake. And today what happens? The bride jilts the groom. Now, what am I going to do with my wedding cake? What, I ask you?
Don't you ever eat any of your own cooking, Mr. Newman?
Jeepers, that would be wonderful of you, Mr. Newman. A whole wedding cake for $2?
You could get married at the same time.
The bride paid for it. I'm not losing any money on the deal. The $2 is just for the delivery.
Isn't that an awful lot of money just for delivery?
Well, you see, it's an awful big cake. Stands 4 feet high, diameter 30 inches. Maybe I'd better throw in something else on the deal. A little punch, maybe.
Oh, that would be wonderful of you, Mr. Newman. Just wonderful.
I'm tired. I want to go home.
Be patient, Randolph. Now, there's nothing else to do now but get a butler.
A butler?
Well, with an orchestra and a 4-foot wedding cake and all, the least we could do is have a butler. How would it look with an orchestra and a 4-foot wedding cake having Mother serve?
All right, I guess.
It would be disgusting. I wonder where I can get a butler, Randolph.
I don't know any butlers. I just run around with the hoi polloi.
If we could only get somebody like Mr. Van Twine.
The guy used to play butler parts in the old stock company?
He was such a wonderful butler. Randolph, why couldn't we get him? Mr. Van Twine, I mean.
Are you bad? He's an actor, not a butler.
He might be very glad of a chance to play a butler tonight at my party. Why, he hasn't had a part since the old stock company closed down.
You fascinate me, Judy. What a mind. What a cranium. And hot diggity, what a party that's going to be.
So that's why I came to you, Mr. Van Twine. I know it's asking a lot, asking you to play the part in our house instead of on the stage like you're accustomed to.
The lights go dim, the curtain rises. I enter carrying a silver tray. The doorbell rings, and I announce the Duke.
There aren't going to be any Dukes there tonight. There'll be a lot of punks, though.
Randolph, would you do it, Mr. Van Twine?
Why not? I shall wear my royal livery, the purple satin knee breeches, and the gold. Would you require that I direct the silver service, madam?
Why, yes, I guess so.
Very good, madam.
Oh, well, guess it's all arranged, then.
Very good, madam.
Yes, isn't it?
There's just one thing more, milady, if I may have the privilege of speaking in mind.
Oh, sure, go right ahead.
Would madam be good enough to address me as Jarvis? I was Jarvis in Alone at Last, which ran 4 weeks with the Bijou on popular demand.
Okie dokie, Jarvis.
Unless madam would prefer Simpson. I was Simpson in The Countess Laugh. However, that ran only 2 weeks.
Oh, well, then I guess I'll say Jarvis.
Very good, madam.
Yes, isn't it? Well, thank you very much. I guess I'll be running along now. I'll be seeing you this evening. So long, Jarvis. Come on, Randolph.
Very good, madam.
Randolph, please.
Boy, what a surprise this is going to be to those 50 droops who are giving you the surprise party. Wow!
Well, it begins to look as though Judy's surprise party is going to be really super. And if Judy has her way, it'll be the most elegant surprise party the town ever heard of. We'll hear more about that in just a minute. But right now, I'd like to tell you about a surprising friend of mine who conducts one of those early morning cheer-up programs. He's one of those characters who sounds like this when he goes on the air.
Hello there, folks. Now's the time to greet each new day with a smile, a great big, jolly, friendly grin that reaches from ear to ear. Smile, folks.
But
smile.
Wouldn't his listeners be surprised if he said what he really thought?
Smile my eye. Teeth like mine, I'll just keep my great big, jolly mouth shut.
So, you see, you never know. But the most surprising thing is that this jolly fella doesn't know that you have to do more than just talk about smiling. You have to do something about it. You have to make a smile register by making it sparkle and shine. You've got to polish up those dingy teeth. And that's just where Pepsodent High Polish Tooth Powder can help you. Pepsodent and only Pepsodent contains composite metaphosphate, the remarkably safe, effective polishing ingredient. Developed by Pepsodent, patented by Pepsodent, and scientific tests show it has the power to produce a luster on teeth twice as bright as the average of all other leading brands. That's why Pepsodent can do things for you that no other tooth powder can. So get a package of Pepsodent tooth powder tonight. Well, let's see. All the arrangements seem to have been made for the surprise party. Now an enthusiastic Judy rushes home, followed by a haggard Randolph.
Mother! Mother! Oh, it's all arranged. Everything. It's all perfectly marvelous.
What is?
Everything. For the party tonight. We've got an orchestra and a wedding cake and a butler. Oh, isn't it all too thrilling?
Much too thrilling. What did you say, Judy? A what? A butler?
Yes. Jarvis. It's really Mr. Van Twine, but we're going to call him Jarvis. Oh, he's simply wonderful.
Wait a minute. Go slow. I'm the excitable type. I haven't got a heart condition. That is, not yet. But I may get one any minute. Now, have I got this straight? You've got a butler, and did you say something about a wedding cake?
Yes, Mr. Newman got stuck with one, and we're getting it for $2.
We've also got Harvey Lane and his Hungry Six.
Randolph, will you please go away while I talk to Mother?
Very good, madam.
I'm a little bewildered yet. Spent the afternoon making sandwiches and lemonade.
Wait till you see what's coming. Your sandwiches and lemonade won't stand a chance.
Oh, I better run upstairs and take the straps off my evening gown. I think I know how to make it stay up strapless. Oh, you go ahead and fix dinner, Mother. I'll be right afterwards, and Father can move back the furniture and take up the rugs.
Oh, if Father knew what was in store for him, I bet he'd hurry home in a hurry.
Well, Randolph can help.
Very good, madam.
What? Oh, I'll answer it. I don't want you to exert yourself anymore, Judy, after all you've done this afternoon. You must be exhausted. Good heavens! What's this?
That's Jarvis.
Forgive me, madam. I thought it advisable to come early, inasmuch as I may be required to participate in the preparation.
Oh, Mother, isn't he marvelous?
Why, Mr. Van Twine,
Jarvis, Mother.
Well, why, Jarvis, this is lovely of you, Mr. Van Twine. But the knee breeches.
It's in case the Duke comes.
I don't know what I'm doing. Would anybody mind if I just sat down a moment?
Very good, madam.
Mother, I think I hear Father coming up the front steps.
Well, stay where you are, Master Randolph. I shall announce him.
Very good, Jarvis.
Good evening, sir. May I have your name, sir?
What?
Your name, sir.
My name is Melvin Foster. What goes...
Mr. Melvin Foster!
Hey, what in blazes is this?
Our butler, dear.
Our what?
Our butler.
Did you say our butler?
Yes, I said our butler. Startling, isn't it?
Startling? Startling isn't the word for it. What's going on in this house?
Judy's crowd is giving her a surprise party tonight.
A surprise party?
Yes, surprise, isn't it? So now we've got a butler and an orchestra. Oh, that's the back door. Mr. Van Twine, I mean Jarvis, I wonder if you'd mind answering. All of us were a little too weak to make it to the kitchen.
Madam, I'm seldom required to answer the back door. In my purple livery, I seldom answer the back door. Only in the crushed camellia did I ever answer the back door.
Well, just suppose you imagine this is the crushed camellia. All of us were imagining so much this evening, we might...
Very good, madam.
Did he say very good, madam?
Yes, dear. You weren't imagining it.
Well, I never in all my life heard of anything like this. I come home after a hard day's work, and what happens? I'm announced.
Well, I got there too late to stop it.
I suppose we owe all this to that daughter of mine. Well, I don't understand, Judy. Sometimes I think she's a...
She sure is.
Yes, she sure is, Randolph. The things that girl gets into. A butler. Isn't he that ham from the old stock company?
He might hear you. He has a great deal of professional pride, dear. He takes his role very seriously.
It's the cake, madam.
Oh, it is. Well, come on, everybody. Let's go look at it.
Well, for the love of heaven, who's getting married?
Nobody is, but I wish Judy would. That'd be one way of getting her out of the house.
Why, Randolph, that isn't a very respectful way to speak of your sister.
Well, I wasn't serious. I really like having her around. There's never a dull moment.
Dull moment? I should say not. Look at this thing. I bet it stands 3 feet high.
Four. Diameter 30 inches.
I'll be switched.
I bet the surprise party is going to be surprised when they see the little bride and groom on top.
Well, look over there on the table, Mother. Mr. Newman threw in punch and chicken salad, too.
I can't stand anymore. I really can't. It's too much for me. Let's sit down at the dinner table and have our dinner. I need sustenance.
I need a good stiff drink.
And Randolph, tell your sister, if she's able to pull herself away from that strapless evening gown, that we're going to have dinner now.
Okay. You also want me to tell Father that after dinner he's going to have to move all the furniture and take up the rugs?
Oh, me? I'll be danged if I will. I should think you'd be willing to leave the piano where it is.
It's got to be over there, Father, because on this side of the room there isn't room enough for the orchestra. Oh, hurry, Father. Everybody will be coming soon. Should I stand over here against the fireplace when they get here? Or should I sort of drape myself over the piano?
We should sort of drape yourself over my knee.
Mr. Randolph Foster!
Here I am again.
Randolph, will you please stop running in and out of the house all the time? You're wearing out my butler.
Nobody cares about wearing me out.
Should I stand over here like this when they come? Or do you think maybe I ought to go upstairs and come down all surprised?
Wherever you are, dear, I know you're going to be very surprised.
Oh, I bet that's them. I bet that's everybody. Where do I stand? Do I look all right?
Calm down. I peeked out of the window. It's only the orchestra. Hey, are we going to hear a job of announcing now?
Mr. Harvey Lane! Mr. Skinny Slocum. Mr. Fetzer Webster. Mr. Jojo Duran. Mr. Oogie Schlutzhammer. Mr. Pantywaist Banks.
Well, I guess they're here.
Hello, boys.
Oh.
Well, I guess we're all ready for you.
There's something I'd like to explain to you, Judy.
Yes, Harvey?
It's about the band. I had a little trouble. My clarinet player is out of town, and I had to get a substitute.
Oh, well, that's all right if he's any good.
Well, he's had 6 lessons. And my piano player, I had a little trouble with him, too. He had a date tonight with the dame he's been trying to date up for months, and he wouldn't break it. But I got another guy who's pretty fair. And about my trumpet player, he fell down and broke a valve.
Did he get hurt?
No, I mean on his trumpet. I also have got a new man at the saxophone. He isn't terribly hot, but he's got a brand new saxophone.
That's nice.
Oogie Schlutzhammer is one of my regular men, though.
Oh, that's great.
Unfortunately, his sister kicked his drum in yesterday. Well, I guess that about covers everything. Except, I guess I didn't manage to get a violin player at all.
Well, anyhow, he'll be good.
Well, you have nothing to worry about, Judy. I'll be at the baton. You won't have a thing to worry about.
Oh, that's them. They. That's everybody. Should I run upstairs and come down all surprised, or should I be sitting on the divan? Or should I be leaning sort of languorously against the piano?
Mr. Rudy Henderson.
Mr. Rudy Henderson.
Good evening, Miss Foster. I found that the boys and I could make it after all tonight.
Well, gee, that's wonderful, but $750.
Oh, forget about the money. As a matter of fact, we need a little practice. Oh, I see you have a band.
Yes, but we'll step down for you, Mr. Henderson.
Oh, it'll be fine then. Shall I have my boys come in?
How many of them are there?
25. Why?
Nothing, except if you hold on, you'll hear something very funny.
If that butler announces every one of those 25 men...
I'll call him off. Mr. Van Twine, Jarvis, I mean, you won't need to bother announcing the members of the orchestra.
Very good.
Oh, Mr. Henderson, I guess I ought to introduce my parents or something. This is my mother, Mrs. Foster.
How do you do?
How do you do?
And this is my father, Mr. Foster.
How do you do? How do you do?
Oh, isn't it wonderful? Wasn't it marvelous of Mr. Henderson to come? Oh, everything's so wonderful. We have a butler and a cake and chicken salad and everything. Now, Rudy Henderson's orchestra. Oh, it's all so marvelous.
There's only one thing that worries me. When the orchestra sits down, where's there going to be any room for the party?
Gee, it's getting late. I wonder why they don't come.
Mother and father are having fun.
Yes. They've danced 3 dances together, haven't they? Gee, it's awful late. I wonder why they don't come. Oh, everything looks wonderful, doesn't it, Randolph? Mr. Van Twinen, should I sit under the fan or should I kind of drape myself around the piano? Oh, I'll answer it. Hold it a second, boys. Maybe they've been held up or something.
I thought this was a surprise party.
Hello? Hello, who is this? Gloria? Oh, Gloria, I don't have any time to listen to any news right now. What? What did you say, Gloria? They're giving who a surprise party tonight? Ruth! Oh, but they can't be, Gloria. I was sitting in the drugstore and I heard them say they were giving this party for the cutest girl in town. Oh, Gloria.
This surprise party is full of more surprises than anything I ever heard of.
But, Gloria, I thought they meant... They said, oh, what'll I do now?
I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to eat a wedding cake.
What's wrong, dear? Aren't they coming?
No, Mother. I've made a perfectly horrible mistake.
Well, that's all right, dear. We're having fun.
Fun? Boy, this is the best party I've ever been to. No people.
It's a wonderful party. Two of the prettiest girls in town are here tonight.
Andy. Gee.
May I have the honor of the next dance, Judy?
Oh, see, Mr. Henderson, I think that would be just smooth. But who leads your orchestra?
Oh, I think Harvey will, if I ask him nicely. Will you, Harvey?
Will I?
Oh, Mr. Henderson, you dance so much better than any of those icky boys who might have come. You know, I'm glad it turned out this way. Mr. Van Twine, I mean Jarvis.
Yes, my lady?
We're not at home to anyone.
Very good, ma'am.
Mr. Goodwin, you know what I think is going to happen next week, don't you? Gee, I'm so excited.
Well, now, just wait a minute, Judy. We'll talk about next week's date in a minute. But right now, I want to tell the folks about some date insurance. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the best insurance against a spoiled evening is to gargle for a few seconds with Pepsodent antiseptic before you go out. It's your breath insurance because it makes your breath cleaner and sweeter. It gives, as a matter of fact, three times the safe breath protection, because even when it's diluted with two parts of water, it's still an effective antiseptic. And incidentally, a real money saver, because it goes three times as far. So before you go out this evening, stop a minute and think, is my breath sweet and fresh and clean? Will it stay fresh? If there's any doubt in your mind at all about those two questions, then gargle for a few seconds with Pepsodent antiseptic, the finest breath protection we know of, and the best date insurance you can buy. Just go to the drug counter and say, Pepsodent antiseptic, please. Well, good night, Judy.
Good night.
Judy?
Yes?
What are you doing next Tuesday night?
Nothing.
Then, how about a date?
Oh, I think that would be positively priceless.
Yes, you have a positively priceless date with Judy next Tuesday night. A Date with Judy, with Ann Gillis, Paul McGrath, and Dix Davis, is written by Aline Leslie and Jerry Schwartz. Music is directed by Wilbur Hatch. See you on Judy's front porch next Tuesday night. Bill Goodwin speaking for Pepsodent. This is the National Broadcasting Company.